Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Scumbag! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Twisted Tuesday has begun as the march towards the Los Angeles Dodgers' 7th World Series championship has begun as well. An 8-3 win for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And there's an expression amongst coaches in the sports world, big players make big plays in big games. And that's exactly what the Los Angeles Dodgers big players have been doing. Mookie Betts delivers once again. Mookie Betts goes deep. Cody Bellinger goes deep. Clayton Kershaw steps up and in with a rock-solid postseason performance. Oh, but there's postseason Kershaw, you know, after a walk in the first inning. You see Twitter lights up. Oh, there's postseason Kershaw. Well, I'll tell you what, Clayton Kershaw gets it done this evening. And if you're going to hate, you better recognize after the fact. And listen, Kershaw's going to get lost in the shuffle because the Dodgers offense steps up and mauls the Rays, puts an 8 spot up on the board. But Clayton Kershaw gets called out repeatedly. Give some love for Clayton Kershaw. Los Angeles Dodgers bats the difference. And I don't know about you, but it sort of just feels like a Super Bowl that's a blowout about to happen. We'll find out after tomorrow's game where this series is going, but it just has that feel, doesn't it? Like, to me, it almost feels like Seattle and Denver. You know how, like, there's always, like, that upstart team? There's always an upstart team, usually from the NFC, that makes it to the Super Bowl, the Panthers. Maybe they are. Panthers, one of the best teams in the league that year. They make it to the Super Bowl. They suck in the Super Bowl. They're overwhelmed. And we're not going to write Tampa off. Tampa have been a resilient baseball team, but the Dodgers have been in the World Series, man. It's their third World Series in the last 4 years. They've got a lot of players that have been there. They've felt the pain. They have the postseason experience right now, and you could tell Tampa was a little rattled early, but Tampa's been great off of losses all season long. Tampa's been great off of losses all postseason long as well, but we're not playing in your uncle's beer league, softball league right now. Tampa's not used to dealing with teams that steal bases, at double steals. We're playing in the senior circuit now, son. I'm going to crunch the numbers, get in all the odds. Steve Merrill, our numbers guy, steps up and in. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Don't ruin your appetites.
I'm buying lunch for everybody on me.
Wow. What's the occasion?
I'm rich. I won my bets on the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and I chunked it all on a hockey game, and I won that.
All right, all right. How much did you win?
$116.
What a windfall.
Yeah. Yeah, I still feel tingly.
Sports Rage Late Night. I am Renzi. It's the Twisted Tuesday. As we follow game one of the World Series, a game one of which the Los Angeles Dodgers win 8-3. Game goes over the number 7.5. The Dodgers were -210 series favorites before first pitch tonight. And FanDuel has already dealt a number for the series right now. The Los Angeles Dodgers are now -375 to win the World Series. We talked about the series spread earlier in the night tonight, 1.5. It was -115, 1.5. I thought the Dodgers would win this series by more than 1.5. Now it's still 1.5. You can still get the Dodgers, -182. If you don't think this series is going to go seven games and you think the Dodgers are going to win, let's bring in our numbers man right now, Wager Talk, ProSportsInfo.com in the house. Steve Merrill steps up today. What's up, Steve?
Hey Gabe, how you doing?
We're doing good, Steve. Because I went 6-0 in a baseball game. We crushed it tonight, and I'm a Dodger fan, so I like the start of the World Series.
7-0.
Why? Because I'm a fan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, if you went 6-0 and the Dodgers won, which is kind of an additional win for you, right?
Yeah, yeah. I baked that into the cake, Steve. You know, I expect to win. You know what I mean? That's the thing when, you know, I know about you. I'm sure you're the same way. I know you're a perfectionist, but I don't really get all that happy about winning. I'm like, sort of like, yeah, all right, I won, you know, and like, but losing will really upset me. You know, Bobby Knight won like 900 basketball games or whatever the hell it is, right? He was the winningest coach. I think Coach K passed him, but they asked Bobby Knight about like, can he remember, like, does he remember the games? And Bobby Knight could recite every loss. He lost like 250 times or whatever, give or take, in that ballpark, Steve. He basically started rattling off how he remembers every loss. Like everything. Yeah, like in, you know, 74, we lost at Army. Like when I was at Army, we lost. And like he remembers like everything. And they said, what about the wins? He's like, no idea. No idea. Like he really didn't remember a lot of the wins. But he totally remembers losses. I think a lot of, you know, I think a lot of gamblers are like that as well, Steve. I know I am.
Yeah, in fact, in 1979, some psychologists, Kamen and Tversky, did some famous studies for the stock market. Ooh. And they basically prove, I think they actually won a Nobel Prize at some point, that you feel more pain quicker from a loss than joy, basically, or pleasure from a win. And it's something I've always remembered. And there's no question that applies to sports betting as well. You know, I've always talked about the analogies between financial investing and the sports markets, and you're exactly right. And that's human nature. A win does not feel as good as a loss. They're not equal.
Wow. It's really an uphill battle we're playing, Steve, this game then, I tell you. So, all right, so the Dodgers are now right. -375.
And we have a -110 juice built in.
I know, like to feel pain. We're paying for pain, Steve, in other words. Something. I might as well go to a, like a dungeon and get something out of it, Steve. You know what I mean? Get some, some fun. If I want that, have some fun. So, but now that the Dodgers are -375, and you know, Steve, I'm very realistic about the Dodgers. Like, I'm not one of these guys. Oh yeah, they're gonna win. They're gonna win every year, but they're a damn good team. And I thought coming in, and we'll see. We'll see if it carries over into tomorrow, because I think it was sort of, it played into tonight, but I would expect Tampa to be much more relaxed tomorrow. They were up tight early in the game. You could tell they were tight, and you know, you could tell Glasnow got rattled. He was nervous. It's the World Series. You know, the Dodgers have played in this, their third World Series in the last 4 years. You know, they got Mookie Betts on the team now, who's, you know, the guy's what, been MVPs of World Series. So they've got guys, I think he was an MVP. But you get where I'm going with this. So we'll see, you know, game two, if they're a little bit calmer. But to me, the Dodgers' past failures
sort of helps them in a way. You know, some people will get their will broken after losing repeatedly like that, but seems like the Dodgers, like, they're not playing around, man. Like, every at-bat is serious. I just like the focus. I know it's only one game, but they look to me like a team that's not messing around. And, like, I think they know, man, they're not going to get to the World Series every year. They got to win this year. I like the way they play tonight.
Yeah, and I think it's not a coincidence that when, you know, a team comes back from a 3-1 deficit like they did against Atlanta, that they kind of get a second life, you know? You feel like you're playing on borrowed time at that point, and then you factor in all their dysfunction the last 7-plus years in the playoffs, including, you know, what, 3 of the last 5 years in the World Series. Yeah, I don't think they're going to take their foot off the gas. You know, I kind of felt like these are two good teams. They're both power-hitting teams, so maybe the zigzag would work here in this series, but I don't know. I mean, Tampa might be a little over their head here. The Dodgers haven't come up big yet in the World Series in recent years. They have so much experience being here, whereas Tampa doesn't. And then something else to keep in mind, Gabe, I don't know how much of a factor it was tonight, but the Dodgers just played 7 games in this stadium, you know, and they didn't have to leave. They got one day off. They stayed here. Tampa had to travel in from California, even though they had the extra day. So this is basically like home games for the Dodgers because they've been in this park for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a good point. Joe Buck brought it up tonight. He basically stated the Dodgers are in the Rangers clubhouse, and they've made it their own. Like, the Dodgers have been there for a while now. They're comfortable. It's like their home park. They're very, very comfortable there. I do think that it comes into play. And as you mentioned, I just get that feeling. Like, I don't know about you, Steve, but I got the feeling for the last couple of days, you know, we knew the matchup. I was sort of thinking, yeah, it's going to be a real battle, man. It's going to go 7 games. It's going to be a battle. But it was around like 6 o'clock tonight when we really were breaking down the game and we really started to break it down on game time decisions and the series. And I said, you know, I kind of think the Dodgers are going to roll them, guys. And Cam was surprised. He was like, you think they're going to roll them? I said, yeah, like, it would have shocked you if the Dodgers win in 5. I didn't call sweep, but I said, you know, the Dodgers win in 5, maybe 6 games. And as you stated, in over their heads, you look at Tampa, Steve, and you sort of realize it tonight, and you look at the Dodgers, Tampa's a talented team. They do all the right things. They play smart and stuff. But, like, dear God, the Dodgers are just loaded, Steve, with, like, superstar, like, young stud star players, one after another. John Schmoltz talked about it during the broadcast, about how all the Dodger hitters, they just, it wears you out. It's relentless. Like, one guy after another, you get through. All right, I got through Betts. All right, Bellinger's up next. Like, it's not a fun time for a pitcher, and you make a mistake, and then they make you pay for it. They put it over the fence, Steve. And I think, you know, you saw Tampa realize, holy crap, these guys are good. And you sort of just look at the talent, and Tampa's a great team, Steve. They won a bunch of games this year, best team in the American League. But, man, the Dodgers just have so much more talent than they do. Player by player, Steve, come on.
Exactly. I mean, the thing with Tampa, with the Dodgers, as opposed to any other team in baseball, including Tampa, is there's just no easy out in that lineup. And when things start to go bad for a starting pitcher like Glasnow in the 5th inning tonight, he was, by the way, threw 112 pitches. I think that was a season high. He was wearing down. There's just no easy out. And he was at the bottom half of that order and getting pounded still. You know, most teams, 7, 8, 9 hit. I mean, Bellinger was batting 6th. You know, there's not many teams that have a guy like him hitting 6th. So, there's just no easy out, and you're exactly why. And that's why they were able to put up the runs like they did this year. And it's another amazing phenomenon that continues to work, and that's to play the Dodgers -1.5 run line or just play the other team outright at plus money. And once again tonight, they win by a margin. They cover as plus money on that -1.5 run line as opposed to laying -160 on the game price. I think that's hit like 8 of the last 10 games in the playoffs now. They've either won by 2 or more, or they've lost outright, and that's how it was the whole regular season.
Yeah, it's a good point. I thought about that during the game, Steve, because I talked about that earlier when they were playing San Diego. I brought it up about how when the Dodgers win, like, they put up a bunch of runs. Like, they don't play a lot of one-run games, these guys. They'll either be flat and off and you'll get them, or they're going to kick the crap out of you. Tonight, Tampa got the crap kicked out of them. But Tampa's been resilient. All right, we'll break it down on the other side. Steve Merrill, Wager Talk in the house. Bring it.
SportsGrid. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just played sucked. Well, I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Sports Rage late night continues. Steve Merrill kicking it with us. Dodgers now -375 series favorites after winning tonight's game one, 8-3 final score. Kershaw gets the W. Rays +300. As far as the length of series right now, the series Dodgers sweep is +400. Dodgers in five is +240. Dodgers in six is +230. Dodgers in seven +250. And a lot of stuff I want to throw at you here, Steve. So number one here, it really hasn't moved all that much, Steve. Even after the win, dude, it has and it hasn't. Like the Dodgers in six, Steve, before the series started tonight, was +380. So now it's +230. So I guess that's a drop off. But you know, like the Dodgers in seven is still plus or the series to go. And I shouldn't even say the Dodgers, like the series to go six games is still +230. So like the series, the props haven't moved that much, even though the Dodgers have moved a lot, Steve. If I said that properly.
Yeah. And just that sweep prop I thought was interesting because I was like, man, that seems pretty high. You know, the Dodgers to win the next three at 4-1. But then if you look, I just figured out the true odds. If you say -160, -150 tonight, tomorrow's line is about -150, -140 range. So just say that the true odds for each game is roughly like -140 for the Dodgers to win -145 or so. For them to win three straight as a favorite of that range would be 20%. So that's 1 in 5. So the true odds of the Dodgers sweep is 5-1. So a 20% chance they win the next three. So they're skewing the payoff a little bit as they should. So those odds are pretty accurate.
Not bad though.
The price looks pretty big, you know? Yeah. But I mean, it's pretty much where it should, but the -370 to win the series looks big to me, but then you think, well, they were -210 tonight and they have a 1-0 lead now. So that's probably about right as well. What I was going to point out, Gabe, before we had the commercial break was that I did the MLB show today for Wager Talk TV, and we broke everything down. And one thing about Tampa, which was surprising me, I like to look at road stats only because it takes away the hitter-friendly parks because they play at all different fields. I used all of baseball's regular season games, all 60 games, road numbers only. The Rays and Dodgers were within a few of each other in home runs ranking. The Rays actually had a better batting average this year than the Dodgers, surprisingly. The Dodgers had a slightly better slugging and on-base and OPS. But then you figure that Tampa played the tougher schedule being in the East against the AL and NL East, whereas the Dodgers had a much weaker schedule. You could almost make an argument those numbers are pretty similar. But what jumps out to me is just, once again, the consistency of the Dodgers. Eight of their last nine games entering tonight, they'd had nine hits or more. Eight of the last nine Tampa games in the playoffs, they'd had seven hits or less. You know, so Tampa just does not hit the ball well. They haven't been for a couple weeks now. They get by with that strong pitching and occasional solo home run like they had tonight and a great bullpen, but they just don't have enough firepower, I think, to stay with the Dodgers, especially, you know, in a seven-game series.
I agree. I think exactly the offense is going to be the difference. And, Steve, so we have access to the FanDuel data and action that they take. So I talked about this before the game, and I found it to be fascinating. So FanDuel is there's legalized sports betting, and FanDuel are in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, Iowa, and Illinois. Out of all the states, only one was betting on the Rays. All right, only one was betting on the Rays to win the series, and that was Illinois. But 67% of people in West Virginia took the Dodgers to win. All right, the series. But so basically, Steve, you know, New Jersey, New York was 57%. Pennsylvania bettors, 51% Dodgers. West Virginia, 67% Dodgers. Indiana, 51% Dodgers. Colorado, 58% Dodgers. Iowa, 55% Dodgers. This was like to win the series. And Illinois was 54% of bettors at FanDuel in the state of Illinois took the Rays to win the series. But, Steve, in every market except West Virginia, and I'm going to give West Virginians credit, Steve. I'm going to tell you, they might be the sharpest state in the union because they're the only ones tonight. Like New Jersey, New York, 73% of the action tonight was on the Rays. 73% of the action of Pennsylvania, Tampa. 66% of the action, West Virginia, was on the Rays, even though 67% of the future market were on the Dodgers. 78% of people in Indiana at FanDuel bet on the Rays tonight. 80% of people in Colorado bet on the Rays tonight, even though 58% of people in Colorado bet on the Dodgers to win. I just find it fascinating, the dichotomy. There's our favorite word, Steve. Ding, 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 the word of the night. Dichotomy. Mm-hmm. Was all of this the lack of confidence in Clayton Kershaw?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. I mean, you know, we always talk about how the public in general plays favorites. However, when it comes to like big games like the Super Bowl, we often see them on underdogs. In the NCAA tournament, we often see them on dogs more. The reason being, the public plays favorites, but it's because they play good teams. And when you get to this late in any postseason round, the underdog is also a good team. So the public's like, wow, I can get a good team as an underdog. Now I'm an underdog better. And then you amplify that with the money line. The public doesn't like to lay a lot of juice. And tonight's game was right around that cutoff range of -160 or so, Gabe, you know, where they don't like to lay more than that. And that's the same thing with that series price. So I think that's part of the reason. But, hey, you know me. I mean, I'll use the other favorite Pee-wee's Playhouse word, and that's consensus, public consensus, as you know, on the show. Whenever the consensus is on the underdog in a game, any sport, that's a red flag. And it obviously turned out to be one tonight. On that series price, so if you think about it, Gabe, they're a 2-1 favorite coming in, the Dodgers, you know, roughly -210, take back +170. That translates to about 65%. So 65% of the bettors should be on the Dodgers. So I'm actually surprised it wasn't higher in those other states like it was in West Virginia, where it pretty much should be.
You know, they have series correct score after three games, in which they're pretty much setting up the parlay for you. You know, like the Dodgers to be up 3-0 +185. Dodgers to be up 2-1 -120. Rays to be up 2-1 +370. So Snell goes for the Rays. And, you know, as you talked about, Steve, like the Rays have good pitching. They're going to sort of keep them in it. But the Dodgers just are ruthless at the plate. And even though the Rays pitchers are good, they're not good enough to just shut the Dodgers down, I don't think, like 4 times out of 7 games in a series. I think, you know, I tweeted out earlier, to me it has the feel, Steve, of like one of the Super Bowls where, you know, you just sort of see in the first quarter the one team's a lot better than the other one. And, you know, if you're on Tampa, you realize you're on the wrong side. Like, I sort of feel like, I remember Seattle and Denver when Peyton Manning, remember they fumbled the first, there was a safety on the first damn play of the game. That's how I feel right now. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers win this in like 4 or 5 at this point.
I'll tell you what's interesting actually is that Tampa up 2-1 because, you know, once again, I said the math, you know, say this is a $1.40 favorite for the next three games. That would give the Dodgers a 20% chance of winning three straight. Tampa as a $1.40 underdog for the next two games would have about an 18% chance to win both. You know, so that's 1-5. So plus 370, very similar to that 4-1 for the Dodgers to sweep. They're both right on course with what they should be. Dodgers 3-0 series lead would be basically 58% times 58%. So once again, for them to win the next two games would come out to about 33%. So those true odds should be 300. They're paying plus 185. So I think FanDuel's spot on with these odds, pretty much where they should be.
Well, Clayton Kershaw gets criticized often, but people have to, you know, you got to tip your cap to him. He pitched well this evening. But it's amazing. We were talking earlier, Steve, about how, you know, losing upsets you more than the joy of winning. But we see with sports fans and being the tool douchebags that they are, in which they're quick to criticize and they'll jump up and down and laugh and do their stupid tweets and stuff when a player struggles. But, you know, I don't see Twitter right now. Like, put it this way. Clayton Kershaw is not trending right now, Steve, on Twitter, okay? And, listen, he didn't pitch a no-hitter. I totally get it. He didn't pitch a no-hitter, but he went 6-6 1/3, one run, World Series game. If Clayton Kershaw would have given up, like, he gave up three runs in his last start, and Twitter lights up, Steve. It just goes to show, like, just the stupidity of the modern fan or the modern idiot out there. But they'll never give credit after, Steve. They'll rip a guy, but they'll never say after, hey, look, like Kershaw should be trending right now. Hey, good for Kershaw, wins a big World Series game. But no, just no mention, right? Because they'd rather not bring up the fact that they're tools and they're wrong. But that's the thing that really bothers me about the modern sports fan, Merrill.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had a great outing. One earned run, six innings, only allowed two hits. He had eight strikeouts. However, I will say this. I think you're right about what you're saying, but also he's been so great in his career, it's kind of like that's a normal outing for him. You know, I think if it had been the number five starter who had never made a postseason start before and he had, you know, a start like that, then it would be an issue because that's what Kershaw should be doing. He's that good. But he hasn't done that a lot in the playoffs. He's obviously not performed as well in the postseason as the regular season. Yet with that said, Gabe, I was surprised tonight to see him become the second most strikeouts in Major League Baseball postseason history.
Yeah. So
second on the list. He's like three or four away from all time. And as much as he struggled at times, it shows he still had a lot of good starts as well.
Yeah, well, that's funny, Steve. Yeah. For a guy that struggled, what a loser. Yeah. He's second all time, right? In Major League Baseball. Yeah. What a loser, right? Like, yeah. I don't know. I think the losers are the ones on their couch at their house on Twitter. But that's just me. Steve Merrill, kick it with us. All right, Steve, get your boxing gloves on. We're going to get to the hot seat. Controversial topics coming up. Can Washington pick a name and figure it out? Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morency. Rage all you want. Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bid it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due! He's spinning the ball on his finger! Just take it! Take the ball! That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. Time Morency. Krusty the Clown. All right, great stuff. Thank you, Krusty. Steve Merrill joining us right now. Wager Talk in the house, wagertalk.com, Wager Talk TV. Check it out on YouTube. Check it out on their website. Check out prosportsinfo.com. Follow Steve on Twitter. Great info on Twitter as well. So, Steve, a lot of stuff I want to get to with you. And we're not going to get into, we're not going to get into politics, but I'm about to bring up the presidential odds. So we're going to get into politics, but I don't like doing this. Only because our chat always blows up with stupidity, right? Like, people aren't adults enough, Steve, for us just to talk about odds without it, like, just, you know what I mean? Like, no, like, if we talk, like, if you like a bet and you talk about odds, it doesn't mean you're endorsing somebody. on either side. Like, I don't understand what people don't get about that. It's a bet, right?
Yeah.
It's a bet. So it's pretty simple. But anyways, I find it fascinating that the numbers have been bouncing around a lot in the last couple of days. You know, so international for recreational purposes, of course, for many people. It went up to like Biden minus 190. And for me personally, I just think it's crazy because not like Trump's having a great couple of days here, yet the number came all the way down. I saw a story on Politico about how, you know, number drops and Trump had the best odds that he's had in weeks, actually, in which Biden was down to like $1.40 or so, $1.45. Now I'm seeing minus 170s or so, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I think all along the only way you play this is the underdog, whether it's Biden or Trump. I don't think Biden will ever be an underdog again with, what, 2 or 3 weeks to go. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's basically Trump or you don't play it. I can make an argument why I could go both ways. And just a disclaimer, I'm a great handicapper and I follow government and politics pretty closely. I'm the world's worst political handicapper in the history of mankind. I thought Trump had no chance in 2016.
Did you see that
the day of the election, the betting market said 84% Hillary. And, you know, so in hindsight, you know, if he could beat her when he only had a 16% chance, the polls were obviously extremely wrong in 2016. I don't necessarily think these odds are any more accurate this year. I'm not sure what's changed. I think the polls could be extremely off again. So that's why I think he's worth a look at the plus money price. But that'd be the only way to play it. I personally probably would not play it for the reason we've talked about, Gabe, is that there's going to be so much uncertainty with who really wins, how it's decided, which judicial system and which state decides it. I just wouldn't want my money tied up with all that uncertainty. I don't think it's worth it. But if you are going to play it, I think taking the plus money is the only way to go right now.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about the favorite because I'm thinking, I think he's going to win. But then I see a story, Steve, and I haven't clicked it. As you say, I see a story, oh, Pennsylvania, they just allowed that they're going to count, like, votes for, like, I don't know, like a week after or something, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, late arrivals. And there's just so much. And the way 2020 is, like you said, it's going to drag on. It's going to end up in a court maybe. Who knows what's going to happen? It's not a game where there's just going to be a winner at the end of the night. But everything is political, Steve. And I bring it up only because of the Buck stuff. I was actually going to bring up the election, but the Joe Buck stuff. I saw Joe Buck was trending again tonight on Twitter. And Joe Buck's hated more than like, Joe Buck, dude. Like this guy, every time he does a game, he's trending about something. So people are all over this guy all the time. And tonight they're trending because over the weekend, I guess people are just starting to find out, over the weekend during the Buccaneers and the Packers game, before the game, there was Hot Mike. All right? Hot Mics are a theme of the year this year, all right? So everyone needs Hot Mics. So there's Hot Mics before the game. Aikman and Buck basically mocked the flyover. There was a military flyover. They didn't mock the military, though. They didn't say, anything about the military. But Troy Aikman, the plane flew over, and Troy Aikman said, oh, great, military. He goes, flyover. And he said, what a waste of money. And that's what he said. He said, pretty much, that what a waste of money. And he said, you know, it costs like $60,000 for one of those planes, like an hour. And he said to Buck. And Buck said, well, our tax dollars at work. And then Aikman started laughing. He goes, well, I'll tell you, if Biden and Kamala win, we ain't going to have any more of this stuff. And then they're back kind of the mic. And, of course, now people are taking it like, you know, like that like Aikman somehow endorsed like his pulling for Biden and Kamala. But I don't see it like that. He's joking around. They're joking. There was nothing insulting about anything they said. So I don't understand why people are offended. And it is stupid to have a flyover, guys, for a regular season football game when there's like 13% capacity in the stadium, Steve. Come on, man. Save this crap for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's like having a flyover when the dome is shut, you know? I mean, I agree with what he was saying. I think that's what his point was. You know what I mean? It's like the stadium's empty. I'm sure he's frustrated by that, by the way. As a player and an announcer, I'm sure he hates seeing these stadiums empty. And then to have a flyover, you're kind of like, what are they doing? I mean, that's how I took it. And then the more I thought about it, Gabe, and I actually looked it up during the commercial break because I already kind of thought this was the case because I was like, yeah, what a waste of money when there's no fans there. But then I was like, you know what? I think they use it for training. And just as we were talking, I did confirm that the Navy spokesman did say that they're not at the cost because they're using it for training needs and proficiency requirements. So it's kind of like when they run the fire trucks and everything else, you know, with the ambulances and stuff.
They got to get their freaking flyer miles. Got to get their miles in, Steve. You're right.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, training, and you're right.
And I'm near some Air Force bases here on the East Coast, and we see them flying over all the time. So I do think there's something to that. But I get where Aikman was coming from. Look, Gabe, you and I, we don't rattle easy. And if we'd heard that, we would have kind of laughed it off or not even ignored it. We probably would have ignored it or laughed it off. But we have such a hypersensitive culture, like you just said, you know, people sitting in their basements on their couches with nothing better to do. I just can't get into that, but that's the society we live in now. It's instant gratification. Everything's, you know, mainstream, hot mics, 15-second clips, like you said.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Steve, exactly. Like, my that's the stupidity of people that get to me, that, all right, you want to have a debate about the flyovers and how much it costs and, as you stated, the training and everything. And for the record, I'm not anti it, but at the same point in time, when the stadiums are empty and stuff. So anyways, but the thing is, and he didn't endorse. He didn't say, like, oh, F Trump or F the Miller. Like, they didn't insult anybody, Steve. That's the whole point, right? But somehow, like, one side or the other always has to be offended. like, oh, it's offended. Oh, how did it, why? Oh, he must be pulling for Biden. He didn't say I'm pulling for Biden. He goes, I'll tell you, if Kamala and Biden win, I bet you there ain't flyovers anymore. And they started laughing. It was a joke, Steve, right? Like, they're joking. Like, I don't know. Like, people are adult enough just to realize that, like you said, not everything is an outrage. These guys were just talking and made a couple of jokes to each other. It wasn't like the Brenneman guy talking about gay people negatively. You know what I mean? They were just, it was nothing, Steve. I don't know what the outrage is about.
Yeah, for me, everything in life's about its intent. You know, your actions speak louder than words. I believe in that big time. And when someone says something, they didn't have any ill intent behind it. Maybe it didn't come out right or it's not perceived right. But I don't think Aikman's hating anybody there. I don't think he's hating the military. I don't think he's hating either political party. Who cares, you know? And it's people are just looking for stuff to be, I don't know. Misery loves company is another great saying, Gabe. I think that really applies to a lot of aspects of life, especially in 2020.
It's draining, though. There's the constant negativity. You're going to like this, Steve, and I know I won't hold it against you for not knowing. But I see on Twitter, Ayesha Curry, Steph Curry's wife. Steph Curry's wife is trending, all right? I see, like, Curry and Ayesha Curry and stuff, and I'm like, oh, what happened? You know what I mean? So I click it. They're outraged, Steve, that she dyed her hair blonde because, you know, she's not repping. What, are you trying to look white? And why is your hair blonde? And, like, you know, you were beautiful the way before. The poor girl, bro. You know, I don't know. Newsflash. Women change their hair colors, guys. You know what I'm saying? So, like, dude, she got attacked, like, all day. Like, she got attacked all day. You know, like, there was another one, Steve, I saw last week. And Adam Schefter tweeted out, Steve, last week. He said, we're exactly 3 weeks away from a really big day that could have a major impact for years to come. And then ... NFL trade deadline day. Ha, 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 right? Right. So it's like, you know what I mean? The election. Deadspin wrote an article about how
that's actually pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Steve, I thought it was cheesy, but I gave him credit. I was like, ah, Schefter's got to see. He's trying. You know what I mean? Like, tweeted out. Yeah, he said, we're 3 weeks away from a big day that'll impact things for years to come. You know, ... He stretched it out. NFL trade deadline day. And some people thought it was funny. Ha ha. Deadspin, the website, Steve, wrote an article on the front page about how it was classic white privilege.
Oh, God.
They said, while people struggle and there's Black Lives Matter protests and people have COVID and the election is the biggest election of our lives, he's joking about football, only a white person living in a cushy. And I'm thinking, oh, God. And Steve, you know, I'm pretty socially conscious. Like, I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to come back to your website after this, guys. You call Adam Schefter white privilege because he jokes about the NFL draft being in the election? Come on, guys. Like, can everyone chill out, Steve, please? Like Rodney King said, he got beat up by the cops. He even said, people, can we just get along? Like, it's up to, like, can you believe that, Steve?
I'll tell you, Gabe, it goes back to what I said a minute ago. But it goes back to what I said, both of these examples. Misery loves company. These people making fun of Curry's wife because she dyed her hair blonde are sad sacks in life, and they want to feel better about themselves by taking it on to somebody who's got a better life than them and is more famous than them. That's all you can say. I mean, I didn't see that story, nor would I have cared about that story.
Exactly.
Had I seen it, I probably would have said, oh, that looks weird. I wouldn't have done that. But I wouldn't have like thought less of her. I mean, if anything, it's like, if it doesn't look good, she's hurting her own image. So what do you care? You know, it's like, if you want to get back at her, you should be glad she did it. So I don't get it. It's just, they're sad, pathetic people. And there's a lot of them out there, and you just can't let them bring you down.
The thing is, it's to the point where you're sort of better off. And I used to watch a lot of cable news, Steve, and I don't now. Even though there's an election and everything, like, I don't care. Like, I just don't, like you said, like, it doesn't.
Wears you out.
Doesn't do anything. Yeah, it doesn't do anything positive for you, Steve. You know what I mean? What am I gaining from watching the negativity of this crap? And I had a guy on, Steve. He's Russell Wilson's motivator, and he also University of Alabama. And I interviewed him in studio. He gave me his book and stuff. And he talked about, like, the whole – it's not the cheese stuff about positivity. I mean, it's real. Like, Nick Saban – he's on Nick Saban's payroll, Steve. You know what I mean? But he basically said – I told him – you know, I was talking to him, and he told me, he goes, the number one key, he said, don't watch TV, man. He said, whatever you do, don't watch the news. He said, news is the most draining, cable news is the most draining negative thing, and psychologically it'll anger you and scar you one way or the other. And I just saw another psychological study about it. People don't realize it, but people that watch it, Steve, they're addicted to it, right? They're addicted to chaos. They're addicted to, oh, did you see it? What about the emails? Oh, did you see the laptop? It's like, it's meaningless because they have nothing in their own lives. It's all pointless crap. We'll wrap up with Steve on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Not good, though.
Sports Rage, late night. Level one winding down. And quick ass hour. Los Angeles Dodgers take game one of the World Series. Going to be breaking down in level two. Steve Merrill kicking with us right now. So, Steve, last thing on the way out here, I see your football team, Washington. They pretty much just announced. They said, oh, yeah, so by the way, looks like next year will be called the Washington football team, too. And they're using the old.
I swear.
It's not easy to come up. It's not easy to brand. And, like, I don't know, dude. Like, does Snyder think we're stupid? Is he going to wait this out and a new name's going to be the Redskins? Like, how hard is this, Merrill? Like, everything they do, bro, they screw up. Like, we gave them a grace period this year. No, not next year, Steve. Like, the next year and in 2 years? Come on. The Raiders built a stadium in Vegas quicker than these losers can come up with a name, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I feel about this. I think Red Tails is a slam dunk. We've talked about it numerous times here on the show. And this past Sunday afternoon, I was having a talk with somebody who was a Patriots fan, just kind of a casual, you know, football conversation. How somehow I grew up a Redskin fan, and now it was kind of easy to stop rooting for him over the last 20 years. It didn't even occur to me till like 10 minutes after the conversation that I was saying Redskins the whole time. Although, I guess in my defense, they were the Redskins all those years I was talking about because I have disowned them. But then that this whole Washington football team, and as a handicapper, it's a real pain in the neck, you know, because like I'll put team nicknames on doing game analysis or write-ups, and I basically just have to call them Washington. I'm not going to put the football team. It's idiotic. And it really perturbs me more than ever that they're doing this. And I saw that Red Tails movie a few weeks ago, as I told you. I recommend anybody who hasn't seen it to watch it. It's got some of the history of the airmen. It's a slam dunk. It's a no-brainer. I don't know if that guy's still trying to extort him for the copyrights, but apparently he's not holding out for that much. Plus, I mean, how much, you know, they can't shell out 50 grand to get the name from somebody when they're wasting millions on a weekly basis. So yet another reason not to root for them. And by the way, Cardale Jones was Snyder's guy, don't forget, in the draft, and he's turned out real good.
Yeah. Or Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins. Another Ohio State quarterback.
I'm sorry, that's Cardale Jones. I meant Haskins. Yeah, I'm in Haskins. You know, they might have been better off with Cardale.
Dwayne Haskins, yeah, is sort of following in the path of Cardale Jones right now at this rate. But, yeah, the Red Tails, it's crazy because normally it'd be difficult and awkward. It'd be like, wow, well, yeah, they were Redskins before, but now they're called this, and it's kind of whatever. This, it like, you fall ass backwards into this, Steve, into the Red Tails. You know what I mean? It's just so easy, perfect, like everything. So I guess, like, it's too simple for Snyder, I'm assuming. Like, I guess out of spite, he doesn't want to do it. You know, like, or he doesn't want to name him after a bunch of black guys. Like, I don't know. Because, like I said, this, like, it's a slam dunk, bro. It's not rocket science, this. Like, but whatever. That's the Washington football team for you. Now you see Snyder's getting sued or something. Supposedly told his, told someone to make sure the cheerleaders remain skinny. Wager Talk, Steve Barrow. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.